Okay, we thank everybody for being part on this Sabbath day. We'll be looking and studying about the 144,000. I'm going to start off in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 1. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on any sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living Elohim. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our Elohim in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed. There were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. And then verses 5 through 8 list the different tribes, letting you know which are the tribes and that there's 12,000 from each of them. So there's a few things going on here. One is that it lets us know clearly in verse number 4 that it's 144,000 and it's not symbolic.
Right.
And it makes it crystal clear that they are from all the tribes of Israel and not from any other Gentiles or anywhere else. That's crystal clear. Mm-hmm. But now usually the point here is that people make mention, well, this, well, we want to make it symbolic. And I say, okay. Okay, and then it goes through and lists each of the tribes so that you're not confused that this might be something symbolic. And if we go down to verse number 9, it makes some comparison because we're trying to keep everything in its perspective. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all the nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. So here we have another multitude, which is clearly, he tells you, it's every nation and every kindred, tongue, people. So he's letting you know there's a distinction between, he's putting between the Hebrews, which he listed as specific, 144, and the rest of the world, which are the multitude, the great multitude, from every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. So if one is spiritual, then the other has to be spiritual. If one is physical, then the other has to be physical. Because it's all in the same chapter, and it's all in the same context.
Right.
And so that's where it blows away the viewpoint that not just Jehovah's Witness, but many other churches believe this is all symbolic because the Europeans are left out.
Right.
And because they're left out, then they say, oh, Gentiles are left out. So if you're black and you believe you're a Gentile, then you believe you're left out, so then you go put yourself in this.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody wants to be part of this, even though it lets you know that there's a multitude that comes out because of the 144,000 in their preaching and their lifestyle, and they bring this great multitude, or they teach this great multitude, or whatever. And it makes mention that one is the true children of Israel, and the others are every other nation. But both are, quote-unquote, as some would say, saved.
Okay.
So if both are saved, what's the point?
Right.
Okay, so there is a point. The point is that you can't be in it if you ain't not a part of the tribes. That's the point the Bible clearly makes clear.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody wants to be in this group, because then this will prove one way or another, okay, if you're in this group, then you know that you're Yahweh's people.
Right.
If you're not in this group, then this proves that you might not be Yahweh's people. So then every religion, or most religions, a lot of them, say that they are, you know, you have to join them to be part of the 144.
Right.
Okay, so so that's just a common thread throughout the Eurocentric viewpoint of Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
right.
Now, so he makes mention here that these have to be sealed. So the question is, again, in verse number 4, and I heard the number of them which are sealed.
Mm.
Okay, so what is the sealing? What are they being sealed into?
Mm.
Or what is they being sealed? And where is this sealing occurring?
Right.
Okay. Okay, and in verse 3, it tells you where they are sealed. Heard not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our Elohim in their forehead. So we know that they're being sealed in their foreheads. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then it also makes mention that under this particular seal, if you read the chapter before that, which is chapter 6, it goes through the 6 of the 7 seals.
Mm-hmm.
It ends with the 6th seal. The 7th seal
right.
picks up in chapter 8. So in between the seals, this 144,000 appears on the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes mention clearly that you're not supposed to hurt the earth, neither the sea nor the wind, until they're sealed. So there's a few things. Most of the events that are going to occur on the blowing of the trumpets, which is in it's in the next few chapters, chapter 8, 9, 10, and 11. When you go through the trumpets actually do hurt the earth and the sea and all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the plagues, the 7 plagues, which is found in chapter 16, also does the same thing. So my understanding is, or what is trying to get us to see, that chapter 7 is going to be inserted in between the 6 seals. Somewhere in between them 6 seals, it appears.
Mm.
Or this event occurs. And
mm-hmm.
he's just trying to amplify a specific point in the seals, in the
mm-hmm.
7 seals, and 6 of them in that chapter. Now, mm-hmm. let's look at the seals for a minute, because the seals will start revealing of where could this group of people come from.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, or where or when would they appear on the earth, and what would be their purpose?
Okay.
Okay, when we look at chapter 6, verse 1, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, in this particular verse here, these two verses, it talks about the first seal of a white horse.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about a person with a crown, who's given a crown. They didn't own it. They were given a crown. And that they also have a bow. And they go forth conquering and to conquer. There's many viewpoints of this thing. Many people would like to look at it at the during the time of the Europeans, that they were conquering the world in the name of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Some look at it as the apostles at that time. Then some people look at it as, you know, they look at all different viewpoints. But they all usually symbolize this white horse as representing the Messiah.
Right.
And these people who are riding him, you know, who's riding it is in white. But there's a problem with that. The main problem is, yes, white does represent usually righteousness and stuff like that. But
mm-hmm.
if you go to chapter 19 to see if this is really Christ or has anything to do with Christ, in Revelation 19 it describes how the Messiah will come in a white horse. And what we're going to try to do is compare the two to see if they're the same. If
mm-hmm.
they're not, then we need to reevaluate what's going on here.
Okay.
And in chapter 19, verse 11, it starts off, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. So we do see that there is one who's faithful and true who's riding a white horse. Okay,
mm-hmm.
so that's a given. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. So we do see some crowns here,
mm-hmm.
but we see a difference in the crowns. This one owns many crowns. The
mm-hmm.
other one doesn't own any crown. A crown is given to him.
Mm-hmm.
So right there we see, hey, there is that this is not the same person. That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see what else we can find out here. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of Elohim. Okay,
mm-hmm.
so we know who the Word of Elohim is. That's Yeshua,
mm-hmm.
the Messiah who became flesh. Okay,
right.
So no problem. Yes,
mm.
this is the Messiah on this horse.
Right.
With white, with a crown,
mm-hmm.
with crowns. Many.
Right. Mm.
And the name and the army which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Now, if you remember when we read about the great multitude,
mm-hmm.
They also was in fine linen,
right.
and clean and clothed. So, okay, so it seems like that you know, those who follow are the same, so that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then in chapter 15 is where it makes this major transition.
Mm-hmm.
And out of his mouth goeth forth a sharp sword, with which it he should smite the nations, and he should rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty Elohim. So the weapon we see here is no bow. He has a sword. So in all essence, the only thing that matches these two guys is that they both ride white horses.
Right.
They're not the same person.
Mm.
So since this has nothing to do with the Messiah, because it's not him, that's for sure. But let's
right.
look at another verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 through 15, tells us who this really is.
Mm-hmm.
chapter 11. Verses 13 through 15, and it reads, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." Ah,
mm.
we've got some people transforming themselves. Okay. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light.
Mm.
There's your white.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Therefore, it is no strange thing if his ministers also be transformed into the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So, this is what they call the counterfeit.
Right.
That would be the first horse. Now, a lot of people would like to differ with that, but they don't have scripture to differ with it, besides they both ride in white horses.
mm-hmm.
Also, in Matthew chapter 24, which really gives the lowdown, in Matthew chapter 24, they ask him a question. Let's look at that for a minute.
Okay.
Matthew chapter 24, we'll start off at verse number 1. And all of this stuff is up on my website. Whoever wants to go up and look at it under Last Day Events, I do something under the seals, trumpets, and Matthew 24, and also charts. I have charts also that are up there that people can look at, or if they want to purchase them or whatever they want to do.
Right.
Okay, Matthew 24, starting at verse 1. And Yeshua went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. And Yeshua said unto them, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And as he spake upon, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" So now the Messiah explains in Matthew 24 the
mm-hmm.
seven seals, the seven plagues, the seven
mm-hmm.
trumpets, and their order.
Mm-hmm.
So this gives you the orders of events. Revelation gives you the details, but not the order.
Mm-hmm.
So the first sign that he says that'll kick this whole thing off, and Yeshua answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. So that would be the first deception. For many shall come in my name. Okay? And the question is, who comes in the name of Christ?
Mm-hmm.
Does the Buddha?
Mm-hmm.
No, but people tell us this is Buddha. Is it Muslims? No, people say this is the Muslims.
Right.
They say the only people I know that comes in the name of Christ are Christians.
Uh-huh.
So they say, those here. I said, well, that's what he says, who will come in my name, saying, I am Christ and shall deceive many. Now, there's two ways to interpret this, saying that I am Christ. One is saying that Yeshua is Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what all Christians say. That's what you have to believe. You have to believe that Yeshua or Jesus is the Christ.
Right.
Now, others will try to say, and who says that? Buddha don't say that.
Mm-hmm.
Muslims don't say that. Only Christians say that.
Right.
And they would say, oh, that's not really what that means. That means that I will say I am Christ. So that throws you off. And so people say, yeah, that's what that means. It means, and I don't say I'm Christ, so that don't count. But no, that's not really what it's saying. So anyway, this is basically the first horse. And notice what verse 6 says. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Now, if we go back to chapter 6 in Revelation and read that second seal, you're going to find out it's exactly this wars and rumors, exactly what he just said, since the first one fits in with deception.
Right.
And you start off with verse number 3, and when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. So here's your wars and your rumors of wars.
Right.
So when you match it in, they fit in very perfectly.
Right.
But you can match in the other ones later, but I just wanted us to just see that.
Right.
Now, notice verse 5, which is the third seal.
Mm-hmm.
And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him was a pair of balances in his hands.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see that thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Now, this is very interesting because this is sort of like a famine that will be coming, or what we might call a Great Depression.
Right.
And so people would be selling wheat, your flour, and all of that for a day's labor. Because when you look at some of the parables, Yeshua talks about that he hired people and he paid them a penny for the whole day's labor. So that's what we're talking about. The prices would be out of hand.
Right.
And then it says it wouldn't hurt two things.
Mm-hmm.
It says they wouldn't hurt the oil. And is the oil being hurt today in our Great Depression, as they call it?
No.
No, the oil prices are rolling.
Right.
And how about the wine? How about liquor? How about drugs?
No.
How about people trying to, escape from this reality?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm, that's there.
Right.
So we see that this would be a worldwide depression.
Mm.
Then when we move to the next one, the fourth seal, and when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast saying, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him.
Mm-hmm.
And power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, which is the second seal, and with hunger, which is the third seal, and noun is added with death and with the beast of the earth. And that's what we should be expecting to see, disease and different things, bird flu and mad cow disease and, more of these things getting pestilence getting out of hand, and it should wipe out, as the Bible says, 1/4 of the population.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're talking about there's 6 billion people on the planet, we're talking about 1.5 billion people.
Mm.
That is a lot.
Right.
And then when we go to the next one, it says in verse 9, the fifth seal, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of Elohim and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Yah, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. That's the same thing we found at this great multitude at the end. That they should rest yet a little season, while their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were killed should be fulfilled. Now, my understanding is that that the people who have been slain in the past are crying out, how long before you avenge? And he's saying, well, under these last days, there will be, and that's where that great multitude that we read at the end of chapter 7 will be. These are the people that will die. They'll give up their lives because they accept the message that the 144,000 actually give in chapter 7. So my understanding is this is where they are sealed, which is before the trumpets and the plagues and all of those other things, so that it can remain in harmony with that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, also in verse number chapter 14 gives you another clarity of the 144. In verse number 1, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his father's name written in their foreheads. So now he just doesn't tell us that what they were sealed with. Now we know that they're sealed with the father's name in their forehead. That's what the sealing is dealing with, the name of the father written in their forehead. Or basically, as we talked about before, Adam was created to reflect the image of Elohim.
Right.
And so these are what the 144,000 will be able to do. So no longer are they, as the Bible puts it in Colossians, that that Christ in you, the hope of glory, of him actually being reflected in you, the Messiah, such that now, and we studied before, that Yeshua, the Bible talks about, was the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him bodily. So that means the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all dwelt in him to reflect themselves, or they had different purposes.
Yeah.
As some would, as I see it, as there were three different things for them to do. I'm not making these separate beings. That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
They're just one because we are one. The Bible says we were created in his image, and we have a word.
Mm-hmm.
We have a spirit, and we have mental capacity that controls all of this. So I see the Father as the mental capacity. I see the Son as the word, as it says, and the Spirit is the spirit. And this makes up one being. It's not three different beings floating around, but that's a whole nother scenario. But the point is that when they all dwelt in Yeshua bodily on the planet, that Yeshua's role was to be like us. We cannot, you know, stop from sinning. We cannot, you know, fight the battle. I mean, we don't have the power. We're sinful beings, period. And so he had to be willing to give that up, his divinity. He gave up his divinity so that he can become man. So he could not heal by himself. He could not raise the dead. He couldn't do anything because we can't. And so so the Bible also talks about in John that Yeshua says, when you have seen me, you've seen the Father. And he was real. That was real. So he said, the works that I do are not my works, but the Father which dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. So all the healing, all the raising, all of that stuff was not done by Yeshua. It was done by the Father living in him. And the Holy Spirit's job was to keep him under control so that he can yield his will to the Father. Now, the question is, many people will say that the Bible says that he was made like unto his brethren, that he was made like unto us in all things. Now, some people say that really don't mean that. I say it does mean exactly what it means. Well, then they say, well, did he sin? No, he didn't sin. Well, we sin. Okay, why do we sin? We sin because we're tempted and we yield our will over to that. That's how we sin. So now the catch was the same thing with Yeshua. What did he do? Okay, now the issue is, did he come in holy flesh or did he come in sinful flesh? And they said, well, he couldn't have come in sinful flesh because there's nothing sinful about him. I said, well, wait a minute. Sinful flesh has nothing to do with you sinning or not, because Adam and Eve, after they fell, they had sinful flesh.
Right.
Enoch, after he was born and came on the planet, he had sinful flesh and he walked with Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
Moses did. So sinful flesh, you know, has a strong point because it makes us sin, but sinful flesh doesn't say you have to sin.
Right.
And 144,000 are going to still be in sinful flesh. They're not coming in holy flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what does that mean? That means that Yeshua, if he was made like unto us in all things, that he had to come in sinful flesh because we ain't got nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he didn't have a sinful mind. He just had sinful flesh.
Right.
There's a big difference between, you know, a sinful mind and a sinful flesh. So what we also find out that the sinful flesh job is to, the Bible says, the spirit wars against the flesh. The two are contrary one to the other. The flesh has in it the law of sin. And that's all it wants to do is do sin. And that's what it has. That's what its craving is. But through the Holy Spirit, that will keep the sinful flesh in check so that Yahweh can actually live and live through us and actually perform the works. So that's what it really means. And that's what the 144,000 had come to. They had come to the point that now you no longer see them.
Right.
You actually now see the Father dwelling in them and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You see them. So basically the Bible talks about Christ in you. That's what it means. It means all the Godhead living in you so that he can reflect himself in you. But we know that we can't, you know, accept the Father because we will be just consumed.
Right.
So that's where you need all of those things fitting together. And that's why it makes mention clear here that they have his Father's name written in their forehead. So he's actually now controlling them. They have the mind of the Messiah, or the mind of Christ, the Bible calls it.
Uh-huh.
Now let's read down just a little further so to get some detail. Verse 2 in chapter 14 says, "And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung as it was a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts, and before the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth." So we know they're coming from the earth. "These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth." So they're the ones that walk with him. That was one of the questions earlier. Who walked actually with Yahweh or Elohim? "These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto Elohim and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of Elohim." Now here, when you read in chapter 17, the Bible talks about a woman who's riding a horse. I mean, not riding a horse, a beast.
Right.
And that's it says that, and she has many daughters. It says she's the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. So she has all these daughters.
Right.
And all of these different daughters, as I understand, is Catholicism, the mama, and everybody who's an offshoot from them. So that's all of what we call Protestantism today.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Bible is saying that they're not defiled with their teaching. And so all of us have to come out of this miseducation of the Eurocentric viewpoint.
Right.
And that's where we can come to a realization. Because the Bible says that wide is the gate that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat.
Right.
And narrow is the way, and straight is the gate, and few there be that find it.
Mm-hmm.
So it never tells you how many go in. It just says, man, everybody ain't going to find this thing. And so the few that find it, yes, move to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
Not to kind of go off, but I know in 17 it also talks about Babylon the Great.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of different viewpoints as to who Babylon the Great is.
Mm-hmm.
What
that
is your understanding?
No, let me finish 144.
Okay.
Otherwise, we'll be off on another tangent. Okay. So that's what they're trying to help them understand, that
mm-hmm.
So they're going to teach, the 144 are going to teach a teaching that is contrary to all of what we call Christianity, from Catholicism, Protestant,
mm-hmm.
all that stuff. And that's what's going to get them killed.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody who accepts these truths will be in danger of being in the great multitude, which no man can number,
right.
who are massacred because, and the people who massacred him is not the world, it's the church.
Mm.
It's just like so forth, and most of the time we don't look at it that way,
mm-hmm.
but who killed the prophets? The Babylonians didn't kill the prophets.
Right.
The Philistines didn't kill the prophets.
Mm-hmm.
Israel killed the prophets. The church
right.
always kills their prophets,
mm.
usually. And
mm-hmm.
so then, it's not the true church, it's the counterfeit.
Right.
It's like Ahab and Jezebel. Those boys, you know, they might be Hebrews, but just because you're a Hebrew, it don't make you a follower.
Right. Mm.
And so he was a Hebrew, and he was a king of the Hebrews too, but he was following Baal to the core. And so you also had Elijah that was living at that time also, and that's where you had your competition. And so these 144 are going to be like Elijah's at the last day, or like what we call John the Baptist in the last days, as it was at the time of the Messiah. So they're going to go forth and give this message, and as it was in the past, they always are being killed or being persecuted by the church. The same thing. Who killed Yeshua? The church. They're the ones who brought him up on charges. Pilate said, let him go. They said, no, man. You let him go, man.
Right.
You're not our friend.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we see the apostles, who's killing the apostles?
Right.
Yes. And so mm-hmm. even during Protestantism, who was killing the Protestants?
Catholic
Church.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So these are going to be the instruments that have gone into apostasy that's going to rise up against the people, the 144 in the last day,
mm-hmm.
to put them to death, because the Bible says, in Matthew, I think it's chapter 10, he makes it crystal clear that
mm-hmm.
they're going to put you in prison and so forth, and he tells you who's going to do that.
Right.
Now, most of the time, most of us overlook that, but that's exactly what he's trying to tell us. He
mm.
lets us know that the people that are going to put him, that are going to arrest us, okay, in verse number 5 of Matthew 10, and these 12 Yeshua sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into the way of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's our goal.
All right.
And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver, or brass in your purse, nor scrip for your journey, neither two clothes, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town ye enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when ye come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake the dust off your feet. Verily I say unto you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Now, who's the sheep and who's the wolves? He said, don't go to the Gentiles. So the Gentiles ain't it. He
mm-hmm.
said, only go to the lost sheep of Israel. So the Israel, there's some wolves in Israel or in the church, or whatever we want to call it today. Be ye therefore wise as serpent and harmless as dove. But beware of men. Which men? The Gentiles? No. He says beware of which men? The men he's told you they sent you to the
right.
church. They will deliver you up to the council. That was their Sanhedrin back in those days. I'm sure today it's like the World Council of Churches and all these other things. And they shall scourge you in their synagogues, or what we would call today churches. Mm-hmm. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my name's sake, for a testimony against them. Who's the them? Against the church.
Mm-hmm.
The testimony against the church and the Gentile. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak, for it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And so there it is again. That's those that are sealed with the 144, that it's not going to be them speaking. It's going to be the Spirit of the Father. It's
mm-hmm.
going to be actually flowing through them. So that's what the 144 is.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody can understand why everybody's denomination wants to be that group.
Mm-hmm. So, in other words, so it's not they're going to be here on the earth, is what you're saying.
No, that's not what I said. That's what you just read.
Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but we being recorded. I want to make sure that the people say, well, that's what Emmanuel said. He said, that's what Emmanuel said. No, wait a minute. Emmanuel ain't saying nothing. Emmanuel read it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
But it makes it crystal clear who they are, where they are, and what they'll be doing.
Right.
And that they are not Gentiles, and it's not spiritual Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And it will, but there will be a spiritual Israel who will be wiped out under the fifth seal.
Right.
And so those are the things that, and my understanding is that they will be translated at the end. There will be no secret rapture.
Right.
There will be no sneaking away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because we got to go through persecution so that we can be perfected.
Right.
I mean, most people never read the scripture or don't remember it. In Hebrews, it says that the Messiah was made perfect through suffering.
Right.
So if he did, why do we think that we don't have to suffer?
Mm-hmm.
But that's that, you know, what they call a prosperity gospel idea.
Right.
And so Yeshua has is telling us something completely different.
Mm.
Did this help clarify the 144 for you?
Mm-hmm, a little bit.
That sounds like you got more questions because you said a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
Ah, okay. Well, I thought I clarified all that I found where it says 144 in the book.
Mm-hmm. I guess I'm going to have to kind of read it and meditate on it.
Okay, good.
And I'm sure I'm going to come back with some questions.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we would want everybody to think and go through it.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so much.
Yes.
And trying to remember everything.
I hope you took good notes.
Yeah, I was writing as we were talking. Mm-hmm. I mean, as you were talking, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I try to keep notebooks. Like, I have different notebooks that I, you know, try to keep up with everything. But I don't know. It's just so much. And sometimes, like, I just feel like my mind just doesn't retain it all. So pray for me, brother.
But that's why we go back and study. That's why we go back and ask questions. That's why I mean, no one retains it all.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, that's normal. You're still in sinful flesh, sister. You realize that now.
Yeah.
That's why you lose it. We're all in sinful flesh, so that's why we don't retain it all.
Yeah.
But as we try to go through our health laws, and that's where the health aspects will come in to help us so that our minds can be clearer to retain a little more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Alrighty.
Okay, well, thank you for coming on.
Thank you. And I look forward to next week.
All right. Yahweh bless you.
All right. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.